Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
A representative from Cars.com is in our studio, Joe Weisenfelder, the executive editor of Cars.com. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
What's the car I need to see at the auto show this year, or the category of car?
If it's the car, I'm going to say it's actually the Genesis GV80. And the reason is Genesis is the best company that people still don't know about.
That's a car company? That's a manufacturer?
See? Thank you. See,
it's not a division of General Motors or...
It is an offshoot of Hyundai. And despite their Super Bowl commercial, people still don't know what it is. Because to date, which is a couple of years, all they've had is sedans. And they're good sedans. The G70 actually was Cars.com's best of 2019 last year. Great sports sedan. But this is their first SUV, the GV80. So now they're going to get some attention.
Is it a hybrid?
It is not a hybrid. It is a conventional vehicle, but it's super nice, super lush inside. It is really easy to operate, which is so not true of so many luxury vehicles.
Fair enough. Well, give me a price point.
They don't have it yet. But if the cars are any indication, it's going to undercut all of the European brands and give you everything that they give you with everything that the parent company, Hyundai, is known for.
The Genesis that is on the roads now, where does that check in?
The Genesis G70 is, I'm so terrible at remembering prices, but you can get, I'll give you an example, you can get the better engine, the turbocharged V6 engine G70, for less than you can get the lesser engine BMW 3 Series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all of the best stuff for a price at the very entry level of what the Europeans offer.
Still, this Genesis brand of Hyundai is their luxury brand, so it's a step up, right?
You bet. And what they don't have yet are luxury dealers, which is a bit of a downer. They haven't spread. They're talking about it, and they're going to do it. But for now, they're still selling out of Hyundai dealerships.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
But what they do have is a concierge service. So if you have service or maintenance needs, as we had in the past year, because typically what Cars.com does when we name something our best of the year, we buy that vehicle and test it for the year and see how it holds up. And the G70 held up fine. We got to take advantage of this. And when we had service needs, we just pick up the phone. They come and take it. Go do the work and bring it back to us. And if that isn't the future of car service,
of that,
I don't
please.
Know what is.
Yeah. Isn't that what Tesla does or something akin to that?
To an extent, yes. They do that. And it's partly out of need.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, there's not a network of Tesla dealerships, or at least there weren't. Are there now? Are they getting out there more?
It's more or less the same at this point.
Yeah.
And actually, that one of their big struggles at Tesla is keeping up with the demand for maintenance and repair. So in that regard, I think it's probably one of their missed opportunities as well.
Joe Weisenfelder's in our studio from Cars.com. Auto show this weekend. Go to ChicagoAutoShow.com to find out more. It goes through the 17th. Today's the 7th. So you got a week and almost two full weeks to go see the cars in town. How does the Chicago show stack up? It's one of the big ones, right?
As far as consumer shows are concerned, it is the biggest. And if you compare it with stuff like the New York show and even L.A., it's great because there are more versions of everything. Like, you'll see more trim levels of the different vehicles because there's so much floor space. In that regard, it's great. It is a bit of a disappointment, though, this year that, once again, BMW and Mercedes are not represented.
Why not?
Well, a couple brands are just getting out of, or at least experimenting with getting out of, the auto show business.
Why?
They claim that they're experimenting. You know, you get the corporate word from them. We look at different ways of reaching out to our, consumers and marketing this, that, and the other thing. Overall, it's probably a cost thing because it is very expensive to do it. They're not sure that the return is there on the investment.
It's hard to track, isn't it?
That's a big part of it, and it always has been. And I want to believe, to some extent, that, you know, that expression, the baby, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I want to believe that the Chicago show, which is such a strong consumer show, that it's the baby, and some of the other auto shows are the bathwater. For example, I mean, it's been even longer that Porsche hasn't even been at the Detroit Auto Show, but Porsche is here. Unfortunately, Volvo, which has been coming to Chicago, they're gone from Chicago now, too. So they're following that trend as well. So we have yet to see. Detroit, you may know, is moving their show from January to June this year. It's the first time ever that they've relocated it, trying to give it new life. So lots of things are changing in the automotive
world. Makes sense to me as a winter event, though, because it's a fun thing to plan to do. And you get to walk around. You almost feel outdoors, but you're indoors. It's McCormick Place. So it's a good walk, you know?
It seems to work for us here, absolutely. Yeah. Whereas, on the other hand, in Detroit, it never really seemed to resonate.
Give me another car to look forward to, truck, some kind of vehicle I'll set my eyeballs on. You mentioned the Genesis.
Well, for Chicagoans, it's probably their first chance to see the new Corvette. It's been redesigned. It's finally in its eighth generation. And there were, for people that know the Corvette, there were rumors for decades that is it going to be a mid-engine car after all these years of being front-engine, rear-wheel drive? It's finally a mid-engine car. And it was actually delayed by the UAW strike by about a month or so, but it went into production this past Monday in Bowling Green, Kentucky. You will find a coupe and a convertible.
Have you driven it, or has Cars.com driven it?
I have driven it. It was made available in fall. I was not able to drive it on a track, unfortunately, but I did drive it for about 30, 40 minutes, and I was really, really impressed with it. Unfortunately, the manual transmission is gone, which is very sad.
Oh, no kidding. I'll get my head around that.
Even the Corvette is not offering a manual anymore.
Well, I guess the guys that drive a Corvette, and they're guys. I know girls drive it too, but I mean, I can just see plenty of fellas loving to run the gears out on their own, and
yeah,
they don't
absolutely.
Get to do that now.
They don't get to do that, and there's no indication that they're going to add one. It is kind of a dying segment, unfortunately, but the car is really impressive. It one of the reasons they moved the engine, this isn't just a marketing thing. The engineers did as much as they could. With the engine in the front and the drive wheels in the rear, they couldn't make it any quicker, and all their competitors are supercars that are 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. They moved the engine back closer to the rear wheels. All of a sudden, the base Corvette can do 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, and it changes the way it handles. Everything's very different.
Speaking of quickness, the Hummer, is that going to be there this year?
It is not. All we've heard is words so far. Words
I've heard about the electric
GMC,
Hummer.
The GMC Hummer that's going to be actually manufactured by GMC. It's going to be like a model under GMC. Redemption story, right? The Hummer that used to be the big gas-guzzling, you know, SUV is going to be back as a fully electric vehicle.
And it sounds like a small mountain coming at you in 0 to 60 in 3 seconds as well. I mean, it's almost alarming, some of the statistics I heard about this, but they're not going to be at the show.
Not at the show.
You've got some categories, though, that you guys talk about on your site. Best family car, most fun to drive car, luxury pickup, best of the year. Let's do that next on WGN. Right now in our studio is Joe Weisenfelder. He's the executive editor at Cars.com. They've been doing this for over two decades now. They're in town for the auto show, which starts this weekend and goes through the 17th at McCormick Place. So we're just talking a little bit about cars and trends. Can I just bounce some of the categories off of you guys?
Sure.
Okay, Cars.com, Best of Awards 2020, Best of Family Car.
Our family car for 2020 is the Volkswagen Atlas. We chose, that's their big three-row SUV. As much as we like minivans, it seems like people still want the minivan alternative. And for families, this was our choice because it is so roomy inside, and not just in the general sense, but each row. The third row fits adults comfortably. The second row is comfortable. We also do what we call car seat checks, which is child safety seat checks, to see how well it accommodates car seats of different sizes. It is tops in that regard. So even though we did our 7-vehicle comparison test with other models and it came in third behind the Kia Telluride and the Hyundai Palisade for the family aspect, just that roominess, the ability to accommodate everything and cargo as well, it was number one. That was our choice.
For the best family car. Mm-hmm. By the way, you told me off the air, and I think we should mention this on the air, that say you don't have that one and you're ruining this announcement that yours isn't the best. You said that pretty much cars generally made available to the public, there aren't many dogs out there anymore.
It's not like it used to be 5 years ago, certainly not 10 years ago. I mean, and that's why, you know, we have a lot of car people on our staff. You know, I consider myself a car guy and a gearhead, but that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with choosing a car because you like the way the controls work or the touch screen or anything like that, because so much of the other stuff has been figured out and is reliable.
I drove for a short while just because we were doing commercials for this dealer, a car, and if you set your phone on the space between the two seats up front, it wirelessly charged your phone. And I thought, that's awesome. I don't know. It turned out to be a $70,000 phone charger, but doggone it, that was a nice feature in the car. I even like the position of the coffee cup holders on some cars more than others. And is that a purchasing decision for people?
It absolutely is. And seriously, I think there was a time where I would have said that's too trivial to guide your decision because there are more important matters. Nowadays, literally, cars are good enough overall if you're paying attention to things that matter, like how it rides and your visibility and your family's needs and stuff like that, the deciding factor, you know, the closer might be something like that.
Is there a Bluetooth technology or just a technology car that you like better than another?
Not so much that, but people will look into whether it has a particular feature now or not. And this is actually one of my favorite topics, is the fact that cars last longer than ever, on average almost 12 years, right?
Really?
But they can feel out of date really quickly. And that's why it's important that some vehicles are starting to become updatable. And most people don't know this. Tesla gets credit for this because they've had those over-the-air updates to update not just things like what's in the dashboard, the touchscreen menus and stuff like that, but important things like how the safety systems work, how seamless they are. They evolve over time. Anything that runs on code. Well, now there are other vehicles as well. BMW X5 3 Series. GM is big into this now. They launched with the Cadillac CT5 and CT4, which are at the auto show. The Corvette we talked about. The Tahoe, the Suburban.
What do? They update your software?
They are all on new platforms that are wirelessly updatable. So if there's any new feature that can be added just by changing software, and again, not just about some little thing on your dashboard, but just about the way the vehicle works, anything that's based on code, which is a lot of how cars work. And the Ford, you know, the Ford Mustang Mach-E you might have heard of, the new electric car that's coming by the end of the year, that will be Ford's first vehicle that does the same thing. I think this is one of the most powerful things to hit the industry in a long time, and it's just starting to roll out.
Best pickup. What does Cars.com say is the best pickup?
We chose the Chevy Silverado 2500 and 3500. That's their heavy-duty vehicle. And we chose among the vehicles that were updated and redesigned for this year, mainly because it's so good at doing its work. I mean, it's great for towing and hauling.
But I might not need that.
You probably don't.
But if you need that, that's a really good version of that.
But if you need it, and bear in mind, it was up against five or six others, including its direct competitor, the Ram 2500, or heavy duty. And we just found in actual use, towing and hauling, which we do, it performed better, and it has lots of nice additional features like a camera system that makes the trailer behind you vanish. So you're looking in your dashboard, and it stitches together images from multiple cameras, and it's as if the trailer is not there. It's pretty amazing.
I've been in cars, and I don't know how they do that. I mean, not only do I not see the camera, but it looks like there's an aerial shot over the vehicle I'm driving, and I see 360 around my car, actual video. I have no idea how that happens.
It's amazing. It's one of the most, I think that was one of the most amazing advancements that I've seen when it came out a few years ago. And now so many cars have it.
What about luxury car? Which one do you like?
This one blew a lot of minds. Got some people a little bit heated. We chose the Ram 1500 pickup truck.
For the best luxury car.
You got it. In the Limited and Laramie Longhorn trim levels. Yes, I know it's not a car and it's not a luxury brand. And I can tell you, when we say this to people that have experienced those trucks, they go, oh, yeah, I can totally see that. They are so beautiful inside. Hmm. The leather, the materials, they smell great. There's daring use of color. And one of the things to bear in mind is if there may be more luxurious vehicles out there, but we always consider the entire vehicle. We're not going to give an award to something that is luxurious and also in some other way deficient. This vehicle, the Ram 1500, does a great job as a pickup truck, and it also has air spring suspension that makes it ride comfortably and kind of luxuriously. It's quiet. It's overall a great vehicle. People that have experienced it are amazed, and we just kept coming back to it. We're like, are we really going to give this award to a pickup truck instead of a luxury brand?
Hey, good for you.
We just kept thinking, this has to be it.
Think out of the box. Peter Greenberg joins us, Ion Travel, in the next half hour. We'll talk about how safe it is to travel around the world on a boat or on a plane. Right now, Joe Weisenfelder's in our studio. He's the executive editor of Cars.com. What about CD players? 708 says, 630. Hey, John, are there CD players included in any new cars? I think they're keying in on the fact that I bought a new car a couple of years ago and was trying to jam the CD into the dash and couldn't find the slot. It was an eye-opener to me. Some of us would like CD players in our cars as original equipment still.
I'm one of them. I'm a creature of habit. Sometimes I just want to grab a CD and throw it into the car. But
that's not happening.
You're correct.
It?
They're starting to go away. The more test vehicles we get, the less we see CD players.
What about this? Hey, John, Dan from Peoria. Thanks, Dan, for the email, Dan Phillips. It says, does this software that you were talking about, where they can update your cars wirelessly from the manufacturer, does this software dependence and improvement also come with the increased potential for hacking?
Theoretically, absolutely. It comes with the potential, but... And believe me, the automakers are aware of it, and they are putting lots of resources into preventing that from happening. Let's hope they get it right.
John, I have a direct competitor to the Prius, 58 miles per gallon average in my Hyundai IONIQ.
Ionic.
Comes with a wireless phone charger, a real transmission, paddle shifters, $26,000 new. There's an endorsement for the Hyundai. You like that?
I like the Ioniq a lot. And for what it's worth, the Ioniq plug-in hybrid and the Ioniq fully electric are among the most efficient electric or electrified vehicles on the market. People, once they see a plug, they kind of ignore the fact that there are still efficiency ratings in what's called MPGE, miles per gallon equivalent. And it still matters, and especially matters because the more efficient the vehicle is, the faster it charges, because the same amount of electricity fills your battery faster, or gives you more miles, and that's one of the most impressive things about that car.
I don't know if there's a rating on this. I don't have an electric car, but if I did, I'd want to know how far I could go. Maybe you just answered that, but is there a car I should buy for long distance travel that's electric?
Typically, if you want to go really far, your two best options are a hybrid or a diesel vehicle.
No, I want electric.
Purely electric?
I don't know. Maybe not. Then skip it.
Currently, the longest ranges are Teslas, and there's a promise for the Ford Mustang Mach-E to be about a 300-mile range as well. Rumor has it Tesla might be going as high as 400 soon.
No kidding. Wow. It's a 256. We have about half a minute left, and I want to get Jim's question on there. Jim, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I'm just curious. I noticed that all these pickup trucks are big and extended cabs and everything like that. Are they ever coming back with a small pickup truck anytime soon?
Good question. Small pickup truck.
I'm not sure it's what you're looking for, but the smallest thing that might be considered a pickup truck is something called the Hyundai Santa Cruz, I believe is the name, that's coming soon. It is a very small, light-duty pickup truck. He's right, though. Even the mid-size pickup trucks have grown and are a lot more like what used to be a full-size pickup.
It's 10:56. We're out of time. Cars.com. Visit cars.com, and you'll, I guess, read Joe's writing. Do you write there as well, Joe? Are you one of the authors?
Sure do.
The reporter's on there. He is the executive editor, too, at cars.com, Joe Weisenfelder. We're out of time, but thanks for coming into our studio. Welcome back to Chicago.
Well, this is where we're headquartered, so we, this was easy for us.
Well, then come in next week as well. We'll do more of this.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow morning.